Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind. Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already be safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise then. The sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, was blind, but now I see.
Good afternoon. We're going live in a minute.
My faith looks up to thee.
I look up to your heavens.
So look up, look up,
look up. Good afternoon, everyone. I was very excited and welcomed you a little
beaver,
early.
Eager beaver.
Yes, I was eager today. We hope this finds you very well on a beautiful, warm Wednesday afternoon here. It's Wednesday, the 30th of October. We're nearly in November. The year is just flying. My name is Charissa, and I'm joined in studio by my wonderful co-host, Danny. How are you?
I'm praising the Lord on this, beautiful, warm, sunny afternoon.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful, warm day. The sun is hot. And we have some exciting things to talk about today, not the least of which was you've been at a very exciting event over the weekend.
Well, yes, over this past weekend and a couple of days into the previous week, as well as Coffs Harbour back-to-back, as well as some ministers' meetings. It was all full-on.
It's all been happening.
I barely had enough time to come home, have my wife wash my clothes, my underpants, and then off on my next trip. It was really exciting for me, not for her. Anyway, we were at the first Faith FM conference.
Wow.
After 16 years of Faith FM, from the beginnings in a garage to, over 300 stations around Australia with a footprint of almost 2 million listeners that tune in once or more
a month.
And, we can cover 6.5 million Australians with our footprint. And so I was there in Adelaide, first time I'd been to the City of Churches. It's an amazing city. I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our buddies there in Adelaide, we've got looking up listeners in Adelaide, I discovered.
Really?
Absolutely.
How exciting.
Can I give a big shout out to
you? Do that, and then I got some to give.
Okay, fantastic. So, and Coffs Harbour as well. I was in Coffs Harbour the weekend before doing my globalism seminar there.
Nice.
And we've got Faith FM listeners there as well.
There's more than just the two of us.
There's a few more. So anyway, I didn't jot down the names of our Coffs Harbour listeners, but it went really well. Pastor Ben is there, and he's doing a fantastic job there with his churches. He's got a program on the Faith FM network as well.
Now, what is the name of his program?
That's a good question, and I'll find it. I will find it during our song break, and then I'll share that with our listeners.
Sure.
Coffs Harbour was amazing. It was really amazing. Just beautiful people. Everything went super well. So big shout out to
praise the Lord.
Yeah, all those in Coffs Harbour and the surrounding district. And it was great to see you in person. Now, the ones that I want to give a big shout out to from Adelaide are Linda and Ace. You know Linda. She's one of our listeners.
Okay.
She's one of our regular listeners along with Ace. They often listen with their lovely daughter, Eliana.
Beautiful.
Who loves chickens. And so her nickname is Chook.
Oh, that's cute.
And so she gave me a list of all her chicken names.
Are you going to give the chickens a shout-out?
I'm going to give it. I told her I'll give her the chickens a big shout-out. So here we go. Eliana is listening to this. We're going to give the chickens, and I met them all in person.
Did you shake their hands?
I tried.
Cool.
Anyway, so we go. Marmalade, toffee, orange, mandarin, peach, frizzle, frazzle, copper, Lakitsa, because Ace comes from Lucky, the village of Lucky in Macedonia. So that's Lakitsa, Shadow, Licorice, and Senug. As the short story of Senug is she had a favorite chicken called Nugget. And so, sadly Nugget passed away, as is sadly the case, when they were away on the road trip. So the next chicken was named Second Nugget, aka Senug.
I think this is the first time we've given a shout out to chickens.
I'm telling you, this organic show, you never know what you're going to get. Anyway, all right. Now on to the non-chicken people. All right. So we've got Luana. She's a looking up listener. Paula, she's been listening in since 2020. I bumped into her.
Wow.
We had a huge regional on the Saturday, and that's when we got an opportunity. Yeah. There was over 700 people there in this church. So it was really exciting. And there was a lot of testimonies there were six Faith FM listeners who have come to Christ or come to a knowledge of this beautiful faith that we are blessed with to share each and every week, who shared their testimony. So we've got Paula, and then a couple of folk there that were in the hotel, Soroj and Ishan. They were wonderful. Soroj, I think, was our chef, and Ishan, he was our waiter. top guys from the, we were at the Ridges, and they were just top. So I told them I'd give them a big shout out if they're fantastic. Listening. They hadn't even heard of Faith FM, but.
Amazing.
Anyway.
Well,
I what are you going
to
talk about?
Well, I have to give a shout out too, because while we went online last week here, but we had a repeat, my husband, Justin, was in the Philippines doing a week of prayer.
Wow.
And so I took a bit of time, spent some time with family, and I got to visit the church that I practically grew up in, Waitara, Seventh-day Adventist Church there in Sydney on Sabbath.
Yeah.
That was very special. Got to see a lot of old friends there. And I promised some of our listeners there that I would give a shout-out. So this is the long-promised shout-out for you, Jeremy, who listens faithfully every week. So
praise the Lord.
Big shout-out to Jeremy. And a big shout-out to Patience, another young lady from the church there. And I don't know if Brittany's listening, but a shout-out to you as well. So, yeah, we got listeners everywhere.
Hallelujah.
And that's exciting. So if you're listening and you're enjoying the program, please share this with others.
And let us know. Let us know if you're a regular listener.
Text us.
Yeah. What's the number?
0488-817-624. And that's, we would love to hear from you because it's always encouraging to know that we're not talking to ourselves.
Amen.
Well, let's listen to Gavin Chatelier bring
not
to us.
Not that I mind.
Well, Gavin's going to bring to us a good song, What a Different World. And after that, we'll keep going.
What a different world, what a different world, way that God wants it to be. If we would stop judging each other, we'd see inside the heart, deep inside the heart, the things we don't see. We would encourage each other, see more happiness, share a peace that would last. We'd lift up each other. What a different world it would be. What a different world,
That was Gavin Chatelier bringing to us What a Different World, and you're listening to a live broadcast of the Looking Up program. And we should take this opportunity to let you know that there is a giveaway with today's broadcast, a little special gift for our listeners, and exciting news for everybody. There's no limit, which means everybody can be a winner today. Yeah, praise it's the while Lord. Stocks Wonderful. Last. So when we give away the code word, you will want to be texting in. Because today's giveaway is a book entitled Creation and Evolution, a thoughtful look at the evidence that a master designer created our planet. And the author is Dwight K. Nelson, one of my favorite speakers.
And authors. He's a wonderful author
true,
as well.
Very yeah, true. Wow.
And that is a great book.
You've read it?
Yes, I have.
Sounds...
I'm not sure if I read all the way through it, but yeah, very, very good. And the way he puts it forward is just in a very sensible, logical, and a simple way to understand this very complex subject.
I can imagine that would be the case. So yeah, definitely keep listening. And when we give away that code word, the number is 0488-817-624. And please use that to send in any comments, questions, and contributions, prayer requests that you'd like to make to today's broadcast. We would love to have a message from you. All right. So
Charissa, where are we going today?
We know.
I can ask you that now. Normally you're asking me and I'm like, yeah. I don't know. But you have an idea, well, a very good idea of where we're going.
The idea of where we're going, hopefully we'll get there. We always get a bit sidetracked. But since tomorrow is October 31, and I actually took Judah to the swings, you know, just the other day, and I noticed this house opposite the park and has this it's covered in cobwebs and ghosts and really scary looking things. I thought we need to talk about Halloween because it's the time and why
it's the time and the season. Indeed,
yeah, we should see what's the history behind it. What does the Bible have to say about it? And that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. Today I was walking. I'd forgotten about Halloween. And I was walking, you know, my little best friend, Gracie. And I was doing my usual morning walk, and I look at this house up the road, and it's got all this Halloween kind of trappings, but from a distance I'm like, oh no, someone's graffitied the front porch of this house. It's terrible. And as I got closer, I realized, no, it wasn't graffiti. Well, it was self-imposed graffiti. It was Halloween paraphernalia and stuff all over the front, you know, black, white, whatever colors, you know, it was different, purple, all sorts of different colors. So
yeah,
I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, no, I remember now. But well, I mean, October 31, let's not forget, October 31, there was an earthquake. There was a spiritual earthquake in Germany, in Wittenberg, when Martin Luther, when he nailed the 95 theses on that university church wooden door in Gutenberg, those 95 theses in 1517, just over 500 years ago, that literally caused an inferno. A spiritual inferno that swept through Germany, the rest of Europe, to this day.
Yeah, it's carrying on even now.
Absolutely. The epicenter, we could say that was the epicenter of the Reformation in a powerful way. There were obviously reformers beforehand.
Yes.
John Wycliffe and, you know, many others as well. But the Waldenses and others. But yeah, that was really a trigger. That was a powerful. That was October 31.
It's true. That's actually a much better thing to remember. I mean, I don't know. I'd love to know what our listeners think. Tell us what you guys think about Halloween.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you.
What do you think about all the decorations that you put up and see around houses these days? It's the one thing I don't understand. Like, I get Christmas, I get Easter, but the Halloween celebrations is very scary to me, and I don't understand why people would be excited to put skeletons and ghosts around their homes and giant spiders. You know, I don't get it.
I know, especially when you got young kids.
Exactly. You know? It's a bit scary.
But then again, with the media industry, we have become conditioned more and more. And
so
you take a look at children's cartoons.
Yes.
Today, they're not what they were back in my day when I was watching cartoon. It's a very different, you know, like I'm scared.
Yeah.
I literally am scared taking a look at some of these cartoons, some of the video games and a whole bunch of other things that juniors, we're talking about primary school children and below, are involved in, not to mention Disney and all the, you know, the spiritualism, the occult, the magic and so on and so forth. And the way that's portrayed and some of the images are really confrontational, Charissa. So
I would have to agree. And I don't watch a lot of
these things. So we've become conditioned. So
we
kids kids putting on these crazy masks that would have been scary maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yes.
You know, maybe the police would have been called out. Now it's just normal.
So true. And, you know, I don't watch a lot of things, as I'm sure you probably don't see the latest films or everything. But when you're on a flight, an international flight, and you see what people are watching on their headrests and, the latest films and everything, you're absolutely right. We've been conditioned to think that these things are not unusual or scary or spooky or whatever. It's just normal to people. But yeah, it's still strange to me that people get excited to decorate their homes with skeletons. Yeah, and
so we're gonna cover that.
Yeah.
We're gonna cover that.
We're gonna talk about it.
And Charissa's a bit of an expert, if I could say so.
No, I didn't say that.
Because, yes, indeed, I had a look at an email that came through.
Oh, did you?
I do check my emails from time to time.
Uh-huh.
This one came from my employer, the North New South Wales Conference of Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it was the evangelism department. Our friend Kate, she sent it through, and she was advertising the Is Death the End series that you and Justin, I'm not sure, was someone else involved?
Probably Lyle.
You, Justin, and Lyle put, I can't remember when you guys filmed that, and it's on the end.digital.
That's the end.digital.
And you can watch, the first one is by your dear husband.
Mm-hmm.
And Something About Halloween is the first, and they're only short, they're not like full on 2 hours or one hour or even half an hour. They're like 10 to 15 minutes.
That's right. Yep.
10 to 15 minute little, bite sized messages on different subjects. And yeah, I'd encourage you. There's about 9 or 10 or
even less.
Or I'm not, no, altogether how many there were. No, there were a number there. I had a look at the playlist. Yeah. Okay.
So there was, can't remember.
You've forgotten. Too many things have happened. So, yeah, the end.digital, and you'll be able to, yeah, take a look at a number of subjects that are dealing with the subject of, you know, death and the afterlife and what the Bible has to say, including this subject of Halloween. So, take the time, check that out, the end.digital, and I'm sure we'll be able to fill you in a little more as we go along. All right.
Yep. Terrific resource.
Yes. So, all right. One final plug. This is just fresh from today before we briefly, and today is going to be very, very brief overview of where the news is at. There's so much going on. We could spend the next 4 hours because we need to make up from last week. We weren't on the air last week. I was in Adelaide and, we couldn't air the program last week. But I just want to give a quick plug. Just today, I got the advertising for, another, Faith FM, not a dinner, this time a lunch that I'm part of there in Terralba, just up the road from here where we are in Lake Macquarie. Mm-hmm. So the Spanish Seventh Adventist Church hosting Faith FM, and I'll come and I'll be doing a couple of presentations, one entitled A World on the Brink, the other one Seconds to Midnight on Saturday, November 30. So Saturday, November 30, it will be up on the Faith FM website in due course under the events. It's not there at the moment. I checked. So they will, I'm sure, upload it in due course. And I've entitled the series, you tell me if this is appropriate, Charissa, based on what you know and what you see. I've entitled the series, A World on the Brink - Finding Peace in Uncertain Times.
It's a very relevant subject.
Does that sound like
it sounds like our world today?
Exactly. All right. So talking about our world, all right, just quickly, let's take a look. Obviously, let's start off with what's happening in the land of the free and the home of the very, 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 very brave.
Yeah, it's definitely that right now.
Where your dear husband comes from.
Yes, he does.
And it's a week out from the election, and unfortunately next week I'm not gonna be here. But Charissa will be.
I'll be here, and we'll be reacting to all that's going on.
And Charissa will be here. I think her dear husband will be here, Justin, and Shell.
Yes.
So we'll have a real American connection you don't want to miss next week's show. Tell all your friends and your foes you want to be joining in next week. We're going to be doing it live as the votes are coming in. It's going to be full on. And you may be thinking, why are you spending all this time on America in prophecy? It's the epicenter of end time Bible prophecy.
That's right. It's actually in Bible prophecy itself.
Right there in Revelation 13, and it's the epicenter. So we're going to look at that. And so, yeah, it's a week out. I'm going to be in Norfolk Island conducting a funeral for that wonderful man, Rob. Mm-hmm. That I shared a couple of weeks ago that I visited for the last time here on this earth, but I'll look forward to seeing him again in the New Jerusalem, I believe, in the not too distant future. That's Venice's dad.
Okay.
Yeah, Venice. She's one of our regular listeners. So the family have asked me to go over there and conduct the funeral.
Yes.
And so, yeah, We'll go with a heavy heart, but with a heart filled with hope.
Mm. That's the hope of the Christian. That's
the blessed hope. We don't grieve as those who have no hope, says the Apostle Paul. Mm. So, amen. Yeah. All right. So, in quick fire, what's happening in America? There's a lot going on. Just to summarize, there is just so much tension, like so much tension. It's like palpable.
Yeah.
And this is what they're saying. People on the street are being interviewed. There's so much going on. Newspapers like the Washington Post, just to illustrate, the Washington Post, LA Times, generally they'll endorse the Democrat candidate, not this time. Not this time. They're steering away. That's they're saying true. We want to be neutral. Like, this is unheard of.
That's different.
This is what they used to do, but they haven't done it for like decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been a massive walkout of subscribers, even journalists from the Washington Post resigning, saying, what's going on? So you got people like Jeff Bezos, who's probably a little bit worried if Donald Trump wins, what he might do. So there's a lot of this tit for tat and it's going on. Not to mention, you've got, you know, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump just sparring.
And their rhetoric sharing
just
intense.
Insult after insult after. Like, Kamala has been called the Antichrist.
Well,
the devil.
Yeah. And she likened Trump to Hitler. She said he was channeling
fascist,
Hitler.
Absolutely.
They're all pretty serious.
And so This is like a war.
It's a boiling point.
A boiling point. And I, as you know, I've referred to this as two gladiators in the Roman Colosseum, and it's to the death.
Mm.
To the death. And literally, Donald Trump said, we're going to fight.
Mm-hmm.
We're not giving in. We are not giving up. We are not giving in. So I don't know what's going to happen. Only God knows.
That's right.
Regardless of who
praise
wins.
Praise God, he knows and he's
and
in control.
Praise the Lord that, yeah, he's in control. And so there's just so much. There really just is so much going on. There are people being thrown out of rallies because they're crying out, Jesus is Lord, Christ is King, because, you know, Kamala's talking about, you know, abortion rights, and they're making these statements and they're being turfed out, and she's telling them, go down the road, you're at the wrong rally. So, yeah, so there's a lot of this hatred and divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, Sharissa, who's behind this? The puppet master is the devil and Satan.
That's right.
He knows. He knows full well, how do you destroy a nation? Divide and conquer.
Now, so for someone who's listening to us talking about all of this, and they'll be saying, well, you know, what should we be looking for? You know, who's going to, like, which one does Bible prophecy say will be the winner? What would you say to that?
I would say the only one that will be the winner is Jesus Christ. The Lamb wins. What I'd be encouraging you to do is to be praying for our leaders. Ultimately, God, his plan will be victorious.
Amen.
And so these things are simply setting us up for the final showdown.
Absolutely. He doesn't need, like, it doesn't matter what happens.
It doesn't matter.
What the Bible says is going to happen
exactly.
is going to happen.
Exactly. So we've got that. And, it's interesting that Donald Trump, talked about if he gets elected, he's going to have a faith office in the White House to protect Christians, a faith office in the White House. In the meantime, and I'm just, got to fly through this. What else here? I'll leave this. I'm just zipping through. I mentioned Jonathan Cahn, you know, that famous, really, really popular Jewish Christian, Messianic Christian. He put out a video entitled Sign of the Antichrist, and he spoke of Kamala Harris as a sign of the Antichrist. So it's Christians that are getting into the swing of things. Then you've got, you know, what's happening in Israel and Lebanon, Gaza, just the horrific, the horrific hatred. So you can see this boiling pot, whether it's in the US, whether it's in the Ukraine and Russia and Europe, whether it's in the Middle East, you can just see the pot boiling and boiling and boiling.
Yes.
So we have that going on. And in the meantime, our friend Pope Francis has put out his fourth encyclical. Were you aware of that?
No, I didn't.
I wasn't. I'm telling you. Only on this show. So
it's breaking news here.
Breaking news. So Pope Francis, according to the AP News, denounces a world losing its heart in fourth encyclical of his papacy. And so this fourth encyclical is entitled, what's it entitled? Dilexit Nos, which is Latin for he loves us. And people can go on and check it out. But basically, this encyclical brings together Laudato Si and Fratelli Tutti and says the only way that we will save this planet and save humanity is if we love one another.
Hmm.
Love one another. He loves us. He's inviting us to love us. So it's this unity bringing everyone together. And I really, really wish that Revelation 13 had a different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I have to view all these things through Revelation 13. And these things tell me that, yeah.
We're heading to the final crisis because Christ is coming.
Amen. Jesus Amen. Is coming soon. Amen. Amen. So that's Amen. It for this week.
Well, let's listen to Hillary Scott and the Scott family bring to us the faithful love of Jesus. That's a subject worth meditating.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
There are arms that we can lean into that always will. Jesus, I pray you know the love of God, the love
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Sel. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 88 0856.
You are listening to the Looking Up program. We're live today. It's October the 30th, and we're so glad that you're joining us. And we want to give away our code word now because you're such wonderful listeners. Reminder, today's giveaway is as it will go to anyone who texts us as long as we have them in supply. It's while supplies last, and the book is entitled Creation and Evolution, A Thoughtful Look at the Evidence That a Master Designer Created Our Planet. You will want this book. If you're interested in this and you've never considered the biblical perspective on this, you will be blown away by this book. It's written by Dwight K. Nelson, and the code word for this giveaway is
LU24 creation, all
right.
One word.
LU. Go ahead. Sorry.
LU24 creation.
Yes. CREATIO. And you text that all through to 0488-817-624, and we hope that you do so very quickly. All right, Pastor Danny, you were telling some amazing headlines there just before about I was jotting some of these things down to share with Justin when I get home, but Trump is including a person of faith as a position in his
he's created a
faith office.
A faith office, that's it.
Access to the Oval Office.
Exactly, exactly.
And I found here a headline that says, because he thinks it's important.
Yes, indeed.
So very interesting there.
He was at a religious faith rally not so long ago, and at that rally he said that he would seek to establish this faith office in the Oval Office for the sake of protecting religious freedom because he believes that religious freedom is under attack and has been under attack in the last 4 years in particular, and so he wants to protect religious freedom because you remember he's the one that endorsed the God Bless the USA Bible. You remember that? You know, we've talked about that. That Green guy, Lee Green, with his famous song in connection with God Bless the USA, along those lines. And it's the King James Version, and Donald Trump gave the endorsement and said everyone should have a Bible in their homes and and he put the Constitution in there. He put the Constitution in the Bible, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, the song from Lee Greenwood. So that's all in the Bible, church and state, all in the one handy volume.
That's amazing.
In the one handy volume. You can't make this stuff up.
I wonder if there must be a copy of that in the Bible Museum.
Oh.
Because that's quite unique.
What's that?
That. All of that in the one Bible.
Yeah, well, I want to get hold of that Bible.
Me too.
One of these days, I'm just going to order it. I'm just going to order that Bible, and I rarely order stuff from Amazon or anybody else because I don't like to do this online shopping because I'm just not interested in shopping, full stop. But I'm going to get that Bible so that I've got my own church and state Bible as an illustration. And the KJV is a fantastic Bible.
All right.
So that's really interesting. So
that was interesting, and then you told us the Pope's released his new encyclical.
Yeah, indeed. And this is significant. As I pointed out, it brings together those two encyclicals, there's three now because there's two encyclicals on the climate. You remember Laudato Si and Laudato Deum was the second one, and obviously Fratelli Tutti. And so it's over 200 paragraphs, and I went online, and you can go and you can read the entire encyclical. It'll take you a little while because there's over 200 paragraphs. But basically, in that encyclical, as I pointed out, he combines the environmental concerns and our relational concerns all in one. But what's also interesting is that in this encyclical, he downplays the law, he downplays, the commandments and scripture to a degree, and builds up love and care for one another and, you know, ensuring that we're all getting along. So remember that. Remember, and this is all following on. You remember that he was in Southeast Asia. He was in Southeast Asia on that tour not so long ago. And you remember he was at the Catholic high school, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember this, but tell us.
He was at a Catholic high school, and there was a panel there, and he was interviewed in connection with the world religions, you know, whether you're Buddhist, you're Muslim, you're Christian, Jew, Hindu, whatever the case was. He said, anyone and everyone can be saved. From all those religions, because they all lead to the same place.
That's
so
right.
Salvation can be found in all the world's major religions.
Which is not what the Bible says.
It's not what we read in the book of Acts.
What Jesus says.
No. What did Jesus say?
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Indeed.
And if he's the way, then there's no other way.
Yeah, and you've got the early church, and they were very clear and very bold when they said, you know, there is no other name under heaven that men and women may be saved other than that name of Jesus Christ. So that's really, really interesting. And I do want to just where are we here? I'm just thinking here of what to read. I highlighted a couple of things here. Let me just read to you one little section here. This is from where are we here? Here we go. This is paragraph 43, and this is what he says. Although the scriptures preserve Jesus' words, ever alive and timely. So although, he starts off with the word, although the scriptures preserve Jesus' words, ever alive and timely, there are moments when he speaks to us inwardly, calls us, and leads us to a better place. That better place is his heart. So true and false, all in the one statement. Yes, Jesus speaks to our hearts and our minds, but never contrary to the scriptures.
Right.
Whereas here he's implying that, yes, God will speak to us through the scriptures, but at other times he will choose not to speak to us through the scriptures. Instead, he will go directly to a better place, our heart. And what is that for?
Oh,
Disney.
That's scary.
Disney.
Disney is dangerous. Disney says, follow your heart. Follow your dreams. A princess will tell you that.
Exactly.
But the Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Exactly.
So that's the most dangerous advice you could give to anyone.
So,
to listen to your own heart.
And when you read through this encyclical, and I haven't read it through because I only came across it today.
Yeah.
But I've just read bits and pieces of this. And really the bottom line is just what you've said, Charissa, you know, following the heart, going with your emotions, focusing on loving, da-da-da-da. Let me share with you from that book that we quote, The Great Controversy. Listen to this, my friend. Are you ready? You got
ready.
Your seatbelt on?
Yes.
Okay. Page 558, Great Controversy. Listen to these words. And in connection with this encyclical, love is dwelt upon as the chief attribute of God, but it is degraded to a weak sentimentalism, making little distinction between good and evil. God's justice, his denunciations of sin, the requirements of his holy law are all kept out of sight. The people are taught to regard the Decalogue as a dead letter. Pleasing, bewitching fables captivate the senses and lead men and women to reject the Bible as the foundation of their faith. Christ is as verily denied as before, but Satan has so blinded the eyes of the people that the deception is not discerned. So in this statement she's saying, we would rather hear something that, you know, tickles our heartstrings, and something that may not necessarily be in harmony with scripture, but something we want to hear rather than what we need to hear. And the enemy is behind downplaying the law of God the word of God and uplifting. So the love of God and the word of God are not contrary.
That's right.
God is love. But Jesus said, if you love me,
keep my commandments.
The two go hand in hand. So, once again, this is very subtle.
Yes.
Very subtle. And we're not talking about people who are part of the Church of Rome. Let's be really clear on that.
We're talking about the system here.
We're talking about the system because we've got listeners, as I discovered at our Faith FM convention, we've got listeners right around Australia who are from all walks of faith, not just Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Jews, we've got Hindus, we've got Buddhists, we've got Muslims listening, and we've even got atheists and people without a faith. And some of them have been asked, well, why do you listen to this Christian radio station that is, you know, unashamedly Christian in its worldview? And you know what many of these families have said that don't have any particular faith? They may not be atheists, but they're not religious. One of the main reasons they listen, it's family friendly.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice? Family friendly. I mean, there's a lot of shows on there that they like to listen as a family because
that's
they know
beautiful.
That. And it's commercial free.
That's good.
You know, we don't have all these ads. So anyway, so that was really, really interesting. I do want to share with you, this is really the state of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely in this section, this will be the end of our section, and then we'll launch into our Bible study because that's really important. My sister sent me this. This was on Instagram. Now, you know, I'm not on Instagram, but I know that you are on Instagram. Maybe one of these days I'll get onto Instagram. So
look out, world.
So, my dear sister Lydia, if you're listening, thanks for this item. And she shared this Instagram post that came through that was on ABC News. And showed a picture of women, young women in Tel Aviv, Israel,
mm-hmm.
walking through the shopping center with their handbag and a gun, like a serious gun.
I got an article after this.
Okay. It says women carrying rifles walk through Dizengoff Square in Tel Aviv, Israel, amid the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza and the hostilities between Hezbollah and Israeli forces. It goes on here. It says, after the October 7 attack, according to Israel government figures, there was a 700% increase in gun license applications.
Wow.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
700% increase in gun license applications after October 7. So, you know, this is just where our world is at. What did Jesus say? Because the love of many will grow cold, you know, lawlessness will abound.
Well, on that very subject of women in the Middle East, here's another article that I just found.
Oh, this one's out of this world, folks.
Yeah, listen to this. It's the headline says, "No limits, new Taliban edict bans women from hearing each other's voices." Subheading, a terrifying new rule has been inflicted on 14 million women in the last step toward the erasure of their rights in one nation. And here is basically the Taliban has banned them from hearing one another's voices, and what experts say is the latest step toward erasing women entirely from public life and society. The country's Minister for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice, he announced this new edict on female behavior. And I just want to quote to you this part. This is what he said. Even when an adult female prays and another female passes by, she must not pray loudly enough for them to hear. And I was just saying to you, Danny, I was like, I can't imagine like how hard that would be because I'm a woman and I thrive on being able to communicate with other women and so limiting and, stifling what that would be for them.
That's how the enemy works, my friends. With all due respect to every faith, including, you know, the Islamic faith, and we may have some listeners from an Islamic background, this is the extreme.
That's right.
This is the extreme. Let's not forget that this is not where the majority of Muslims are. This is very extreme. There are extreme Christians out there. There are extreme Hindus and Buddhists. There are extreme non-religious people. You know, there are people who are extreme in all walks of life. But the enemy thrives on extremities. Mm. He thrives on us being extreme, fanatical, because that is when he can create the greatest chaos.
Control.
And
confusion.
And religious persecution is coming, the Bible tells us. And it's interesting, you know, whilst we, you know, enjoy peace and safety and religious freedom here in this studio and able to share, there are Christians that are dying every single day. I went to the Voice of Martyrs website just this morning and I discovered that every single day, Sharissa, 13 Christians around the world are martyred. Every single day. So today,
don't think about that in a country where you've got safety and we can talk on radio like this.
But there's about 100 countries around the world where they have limited or no religious freedom. Mm. Limited or no religion. 12 churches either torched to the ground or seriously damaged every day.
Wow.
And there are 12 serious acts of injustice committed against Christians every single day. So it's not just Christians. I'm sure Muslims, mm-hmm, Hindus, mm-hmm, you know, they're all getting. And just to show you, you know, the map, you can see you've got good eyes, unlike me. You can see where all the red is. That's where the persecution is. Can you see how much of the world, like
North? It's a very large portion of the
North
world.
North Africa, a little bit there in, you know, northern, central sort of,
Those are very populated places too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So this is all creating those conditions that will one day springboard for that final worship crisis and that final persecution.
Totally right. And the devil's behind it all. But
yes, he is.
We need to look to Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to listen to Rick Ferret bring to us the old rugged cross. And then we're going to come back and get into our Bible study. Enjoy this beautiful hymn.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday, my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross
exchange it someday for a crown.
That was Rick Ferret bringing to us the old Ragged Cross. And I should add that he used to come to my school growing up. I was at Wurrunga Adventist Primary. And I still remember Rick, Pastor Rick, we called him. He'd come and he'd sing our worships for chapel and that kind of thing and lead us in worship. It was a blessing. And so, yeah, I went to school with some of his kids too.
The small world. Like, that is like the top school in Sydney, like the top private school.
We just make up our own facts here.
$100,000 a year in educational costs.
There you go.
That was back 30 years ago when Charissa was in high school. Primary school.
All right. I can mute you at any moment.
I know you can. That's
I had the controls. It was a long time ago though, looking back now. But we should give another plug for the code word.
We should.
Do you want to tell them about it?
Yes. The book Creation and Evolution by Dwight Nelson. An excellent book like this is a great resource. You will love it. And it may be not for you. Maybe it's for somebody else.
That's right.
A beautiful gift. We're coming up to Christmas, Charissa. It's like 2 months away, less than 2 months away. So this could be a book that you've got.
You can wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Give it to someone. And you've got your Christmas present already done and dusted.
Now you've given everybody an idea.
now we'll have a flood of requests. So, yeah, Creation and Evolution by Dwight Nelson. And you're going to love this little book that really just unpacks this subject in a very simple but a very profound and powerful manner.
Yes.
So the code word is LU24 creation, all one word, LU24 creation. Text that number. So text that word to
0488-817-624.
That's our looking up number. You should pop that into your phone.
Just save it.
Save it in your phone. That's our looking up number. So have we got any people that have already got the prize?
We do. We have a winner.
Oh, fantastic.
But we need more.
We do need more. So anyway. All right. Now, just to clarify, we talked about Donald Trump promising at one of his rallies. Well, it wasn't so much of a rally. It was an interview he did on the National Faith Summit in Powder Springs, Georgia. And he spoke there of the importance of reinstating the faith office. So he had already put in place a faith office in his first administration whilst he was the president. And so it was taken out under the Biden-Harris administration, and he wants to reinstate it. For he said that we need to ensure that religion takes not a back seat, but that religion and faith is prominent in how we do business in the White House. So, you know, really, really important. So anyway, we'll see how all that goes, whether he gets in or not. And so it'll all be clear and evident in due course.
Yes, keep watching.
Watch this space. So So there's a lot going on, Charissa. There's a lot going on, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more going on post November 5.
We're gonna have a lot. We're gonna miss you next week when we talk about it all as it's happening. But I'm sure you'll have lots to say when you come back.
I'm sure I will. But now it's time to get into our Bible study, and I'm really looking forward to this Bible study. And just a reminder, you can go to theend.digital, and I'll read out
go
if
ahead.
You don't mind what the topics are that you guys covered. That was probably 2 or 3 years ago, somewhere there.
Since COVID.
So the first one is Halloween's haunting history. Then we've got spirits, demons, and the dead. Who are the spirits? Death's surprising truth. Your questions answered panel. So there was a panel answering questions. Is death the end? Was another one. And there was a powerful testimony there from a woman called Kathy.
Yeah, excellent. who should definitely watch that.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Kathy's story, clairvoyant to Christianity. Mm-hmm. So that's a powerful testimony. You'll want to tap into that. Hell, the real truth about hell,
mm-hmm.
you know, death of death, and does heaven exist?
Mm.
So they're all on there.
Yep.
So there you go.
And they're all short, like you said.
Yeah, they're all short. Is death the end? Theend.digital. You can find it all there on theend.digital.
That's right. So instead of .com, .digital.
Absolutely. All right. Over to you, my friend. Right. The time is all yours.
Well, I think we should pray.
We should.
And would you open? I'll close with prayer.
Yes. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you for this opportunity to study your word. And Lord, it's Halloween tomorrow, and we know, Lord, that millions and millions, hundreds of millions of boys and girls, mums and dads, grandmas and grandpas, everyone, dear Lord, will be getting into the festivities of what this all entails. Lord, as Christians, as people of faith, we may not all be Christians who are listening in right now. There may be some who are from an Islamic background or Buddhists or Hindus, and a lot of people may be just wondering, what on earth is this Halloween all about? They see these crazy costumes. They have kids knocking on their doors. Lord, is it just fun and games, or is there something more that we ought to know about, something that your Holy Spirit will convict us through your word? So as we open your word, open our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
Lead all of us, dear Lord, as listeners and Sharissa and myself, as we're leading in this Bible study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen.
And maybe if our listeners have got any questions,
yes,
or comments,
text them through us. Yeah. To us. We'd love that.
Absolutely.
0488-817-624. And again, the code word reminder for our giveaway today, LU24 creation. Well, I think what we can do first, because Halloween, it's obviously that time. We talked about how we're seeing all the decorations around the place at the moment. I actually never forgot my favorite teacher's birthday growing up in primary school because it was on Halloween.
Is that right?
And I'd send her a happy birthday every year. To this day, I send her a happy birthday, and I don't think she's clicked why I remember.
those dates. They're easy to remember. Yeah,
every time you see the Halloween things, okay,
you remember your teacher.
Yeah, her birthday is coming. But I thought you might find this interesting. Every year, Halloween is generating a lot of money for business. In fact, do you want to know how much Americans are spending?
Well, yes. Tell me.
Well, even if you didn't, I was going to tell you. In 2024, it's estimated they will spend $11.6 billion. That's actually a 4.9% drop compared to last year's spending, which was $12.2 billion.
Wow.
So it's had its ups and downs over the decades, according to this website. During the pandemic, things were down. But then straight after the pandemic, as it continued, I guess, in 2021, it really skyrocketed. So that's a lot of money on Halloween. And I don't know about you. I don't know about our listeners. You want to tell us anything about what you've noticed? But from my perspective, I think that it seems to be picking up more and more interest here in Australia. At least there seems to be more hype about Halloween than I remember there being in years past. Is that true?
Yeah, I think every year it's growing. Sharissa, yeah. And there is more and more interest, and obviously, you know, the corporates, they're thinking of the bottom line. Parents are just enjoying the ride, and you know, trying to make things fun for their children.
Yeah,
and so I think whether it be the corporates, whether it be families, communities, schools, whoever may be involved, whoever it is, I think the bottom line is they all see this as just simply fun and games, you know, mm-hmm. just nothing nefarious,
it's
just
true.
Fun and games.
The kids are going to go out.
Oh, the kids have got innocent. No idea. The kids see this as a dress-up opportunity.
Candy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That sounds pretty good if you're a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Anything to get candy.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess what I thought we could do first of all is actually tell people what they may not be as familiar with, and that is the history behind Halloween. In fact, I'm almost hesitant to call it a holiday because the word holiday it's basically a word meaning holy day, and there's absolutely nothing holy about Halloween if you do the research. So we'll talk about that first, and then after that, we'll see what the Bible says about that that background as well. So once upon a time, this was a very deadly serious occasion. We treat it as a fun thing for kids today, but way back in the very beginning, this was not as as that. It wasn't fun like that. I'm just looking at my notes here, but originally it was called All Hallows Eve, and Halloween was first celebrated by the Celts in Ireland in a festival that took place on the Eve, Celts' New Year, that began on November 1. So that's why we have the date, October 31st. And at the time, belief in spirit possession was virtually all over the place there, and rituals of Halloween were seen as a means of warding off demonic capture. Okay. Now, this is what would happen, and this is kind of, it's just crazy. But listen, on the 31st of October, a festival took place that honored Samhain, the Celtic lord of death. So we're celebrating death.
Wow.
This time of year for them was the beginning of winter in the northern hemisphere. The leaves were falling. It was getting darker earlier. The temperatures were dropping. And so the Celts believed that their sun god was losing strength, and Samhain, the lord of death, was overpowering the sun god. Additionally, the Celts also believed that on this day, Samhain allowed the spirits or souls of those who had died in the previous year to return and choose a body which they could possess for the next 12 months. 12 months being the period of time before they could peacefully pass into the afterlife.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That is. And it's pretty scary, to be honest, mm-hmm. when you unpack it as you do.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Now, just to give an Australian context, you gave the US numbers mm-hmm. of what was it, 12 odd billion?
11.6 billion this year.
11.6 billion. Do you know how much, according to the ABC News today, how much Australians will spend?
Tell us.
And how many Australians are involved in Halloween? Well, according to this ABC News website.
This is in spite of inflation.
In spite of inflation and cost of living pressures.
All right, keep going.
$450 million
wow.
are expected to be spent on celebrations, especially costumes, this year in Australia. $450 million, that's half $1 billion.
It's incredible.
$500 million. So per capita, we're probably spending as much, if not more, than mm-hmm. the United States of America. And so, yeah, so, and it says 1 in 5 Australians will partake in Halloween celebrations this year.
One in five.
We've got 26 million people, so that's 5 million people plus.
Mm.
That will be involved in Halloween celebrations.
Amazing.
So this is growing. I mean, this wasn't the case 20, 30, 40 years ago,
yep.
but today it is, and in all walks of life, regardless of whether it's a Christian community or not. And a lot of Christians are getting involved in it,
mm-hmm.
and they're seeing it as just simply
harmless
fun, a bit of harmless fun.
Well, yeah, that may be how they perceive it, but literally the history of it, people believed back in the day that spirits of the dead were rising out of their graves, wandering about the countryside and trying to return to their former homes. That's why it's spooky, right? And so the night before the New Year's, so I told you that in this Celtic New Year thing was November 1st. So the night before, or Halloween, the Druids, which is a name for Celtic priests, they ordered all families to put out their household fires. The idea of this was because they wanted to make their homes cold and undesirable for disembodied spirits that might be lurking around. And to further frighten away those spirits, the Celtic families would then dress themselves up as demons, goblins, witches, and in animal skins. And then they would noisily parade inside and outside their homes, all in an effort to keep the spirits at bay.
So that is what we are seeing on our streets yeah. today in Australia and in many Western parts of the world. We are literally seeing that,
yeah.
Charissa. And do you know what's fascinating? As you read that description, and it's been a while since I was I was made aware of what you're sharing. I remember going through it the first time, and I was like, "Wow,
yeah.
this is literally being played out on our streets." But as you're sharing that, I've got images of these kids, and mm-hmm. you know, we'll see that in 24 hours' time.
Yeah,
we will see that.
Well, and you know, we're talking about this, and these, you know, innocent kids, they have no idea.
Absolutely, there could be some kids that are driving with their parents right now. They might be going to a costume shop. Right yep. now as we speak.
That's true.
Or they're coming back from a costume shop and yeah. you're like, what?
Yeah.
Who told these people to be on the radio this afternoon? Mom, turn it off. Dad, turn it off.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess there is a lot of folk who are ignorant.
Yeah.
And we've got to remember how the enemy works, Charissa. The enemy takes advantage of people's ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God alone mm-hmm. will keep us on the right track. And we know that Eve Eve got herself into a whole heap of hot water at the very beginning in connection with this life after death matter.
Mm.
With the first temptation was in connection with life after death and the immortality of the soul, which we've talked about. Eve got herself into trouble because she neglected to take seriously the word of God. Isn't that right?
Yes. And, you know, on that point, I've been really reflecting on the temptations that came to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so beautiful. This is why we got to look up, because mm-hmm. everywhere where she failed and where we fail,
mm-hmm.
Jesus never failed. He was victorious.
Amen.
And that's why we look to him, because he's the only hope we have. Well, we should listen to more hopeful things.
Amen.
And then we keep
Amen.
Unpacking these things.
This
about
exciting
Halloween.
Bible study.
Yes.
Exciting Bible study today.
All right.
And very relevant. Very relevant.
Extremely relevant.
You might be turning around very soon and heading back to that Halloween shop to give your gear and ask for a refund.
That's right.
Keep tuning in.
Yes, Marlita Fong is going to bring to us now, He Will Carry You.
Do you know her?
Very well.
Cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall. He cannot move it.
There is no storm too dark. God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep.
Marlita Fong bringing to us, along with Jana Lombard there, He Will Carry You. And you are listening to the Looking Up program.
I've got to say, Charissa, I just love that song. I was listening in, just beautiful song. I love the words, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, speaking of the cross, surely he will carry you through. I think that
I'm glad you took
that
the time
line
to take us
is
there.
Just so powerful. Mm. Just that one sentence you can meditate and ruminate on that, you know, for the rest of the day. If he carried the world on his shoulders, he will carry you through. That's that personal love of God for each and every one of us. I just love that song. And, you know, with the chaos and the confusion, the stuff going on right now, be it in our own personal lives, be it in the world, you know, it's just a chaotic time to be alive. And sadly, we know those labor pains are going to intensify. Yes, there'll be those pauses, as our friend Rachel reminded us, who was helping produce for a season there. But although there are those pauses, there will be more and more intense labor pains as we near the return of Jesus. And to know this truth, that no matter what comes our way, and yes, the reality is that God's end time people who remain faithful to Jesus and loyal to him will suffer persecution. The Bible says, you know, do not think it strange that you will suffer persecution. The New Testament writers are right for, you know, all those who seek to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. To know that God is with us, he is guiding, he is leading, that is just so beautiful. And that will help you to remain faithful and to remain true until the end.
Absolutely. That's powerful. And I'm glad you made us stop and think about that, because those words are just so rich for each one of us.
Amen.
We want to remind you about the code word, because this is this amazing giveaway today. Creation and Evolution, a thoughtful look at the evidence that a master designer created our planet, written by Dwight K. Nelson. The debate is heating up. Did a loving God create this earth, or are we the random product of millions of years of natural selection? Is the Bible teaching of a literal six-day creation viable, given the scientific evidence pointing toward evolution? Or can both theories be successfully blended into one? Take a look at the evidence and prayerfully search your heart, and then draw your own conclusions. That's a little teaser for the book. What's the code word again?
The code word is LU24CREATION. Yes. One word, text that word to
0488-817-624.
And I do probably need – I'm just looking here at some of the messages that were sent through. We had Paul Kaczynski. He's one of our regular listeners.
Yes.
And he often encourages us to give a plug for different things, including the Hopeful movie.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you saw it. Did you get a chance to see it?
I didn't, but maybe some of our listeners did. Let us know what you thought.
Yeah.
Text in what you thought, 0488-817-624.
Absolutely. So Paul was asking, has last week's Looking Up program been podcast yet? And, unfortunately, we weren't on air last week.
Live,
we weren't on air live, so there would have been a repeat from, I'm not quite sure what show they would have picked out of the bag.
Yep.
But yeah, this week is certainly live, and God willing, it'll be up on the podcast. And by the way, probably a good time to just give the app a plug, Charissa.
Yeah, well, you can go to your app store and download the Faith FM app, and then you can listen to Faith FM when you're driving. As long as you've got network coverage, you pretty much have uninterrupted service, which I definitely would encourage you all to do, because if you have tried listening from the radio towers, you probably get a bit frustrated as you're driving, because it, you know, drops in and out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you have the app, you can listen uninterrupted.
Even from Africa, as I did.
Even from
as
Africa.
I did earlier.
It's only past 20.
I was promoting it there, so who knows? We may have some listeners from Tanzania right now as we speak.
Let us know if you're listening.
Absolutely. Mungu akubariki to you all.
There you
and
go.
Bwana asefiwe. Do you know what I said?
I have no idea.
I said, God bless you all. That's Mungu akubariki.
Uh-huh.
And that's in Kiswahili. And Bwana asefiwe is my favorite phrase when I'm asked, how you doing? Which is praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord.
Buona asifiwe. Praising the Lord. So anyway, asante sana, which is thank you very much, and over and out on that one. Now, Peter has sent us a message.
Yeah.
Shalom, shalom.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. That means peace, peace.
It means peace, peace, indeed. And the Prince of Peace is the one that provides peace.
Jesus.
So we praise the Lord for that. And send us your messages, prayer requests, anything. We love to hear from you.
Yeah. You know, we were unpacking the haunted history of Halloween.
We were.
And there's just a little bit more. It just gets a little bit worse.
Oh.
And then we need to direct our listeners to what the Bible would say about all
because
this.
I can only take so much more of this.
Yeah. The history is pretty dark, but what the Bible has is so much more hopeful.
But you know what? We need to know the truth.
We
need to know the truth of the origins of these things because that puts everything into context.
Yeah. Otherwise, you might end up.
Absolutely.
In the wrong
spot. So praise the Lord. Yeah, praise right. God that you did the research on this. So far away,
well,
my friend.
It's not like I wanted to share it like this. It's just what I found. This is the history. So the ritual we were talking about that would happen there on New Year's Eve, a Druid priest would actually build a huge New Year's bonfire. That bonfire was to honor the sun god for the past summer's harvest and to frighten away evil spirits. And they'd build it of oak branches, which they considered sacred. Then costumed villagers would gather. They would proceed to visit all the houses in the village, and any unfortunate villager who was deemed by appearance or previous behavior to be possessed by a spirit, they would be cast into the bonfire and burned alive. That's about as horrible as it gets. And so, you know, all of this, you've got people screaming, animals screaming, crying in agony, being burnt to death. The druids and their costumed followers would dance and chant and jump through the flames, all to serve as a lesson to other spirits contemplating human possession. And then at the same time, it was a convenient way for villagers to rid themselves of people they didn't like. Okay.
And let me just get this right,
please,
Charissa. Let me just get this right. And in case some of our listeners are like, is this real, as in, did this really happen? Was this acted out? Was this some Hollywood play? Was this real?
Did this
actually happen?
This is real.
This is real. So this is not
way back in Celtic culture.
So this wasn't just an act.
No.
This wasn't some kind of play.
Yeah. No.
This was the real deal.
And I think what's happened down through time is it became acted out.
But this is the origins.
This is the origin, and it's barbaric. And it happened, listen to this, it happened openly for hundreds of years until Rome conquered Britain and outlawed it.
Wow.
Yeah. And as years passed, Rome conquered more territory, increasing in power. Conquered nations were forced not only to become Roman citizens, but also members of the Roman Church. And as you can imagine, new converts were maybe not as thrilled to let go of their mm-hmm. pagan past. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so around 600 AD, you have Pope Boniface IV. He created All Saints' Day. And then Pope Gregory III later moved this holiday to November 1 in an effort to give a Christian alternative to the pagan celebration. And then later the Catholic Church began to honor the dead on November the 2nd, and it became known as All Souls Day. And on this day, they believed that you could pray the dead out of purgatory.
And do you know what? I'm fact-checking you as you share.
Go ahead.
I'm fact-checking you on none other than the ABC News website. that published that story that I quoted those numbers, you know, right. The 450 million, one in five Australians, more than one in five. And the headline is, and you can go to the ABC News website, and the headline is, what is Halloween and why are more Australians celebrating it? And it literally shares what you shared. In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1 as a time to honor All Saints. Soon, All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain. Mm-hmm. Samhain, yeah. The evening before was known. And goes on and goes on. You know, talks about the Celtic tales, full of mystical creatures like fairies, demons, and pagan gods, often with evil or magical powers. So everything that you're sharing is literally mainstream media news network.
Yeah, I'd encourage all of our listeners to go and do your own research.
Absolutely, it's all there.
Check it out. But the whole thing behind, the whole history behind it is the idea, it all revolves around this belief, and this is where we need to come to our Bibles,
mm-hmm.
the belief that the dead are not really dead. Mm. Because all the funny things that they do, dressing up to try and, you know, don't light a fire in your home so that that doesn't look desirable to, disembodied spirits, it's all because they believe they can come back. So really, we should see what the Bible has to say about,
indeed.
You know, what happens when you die. Can the dead come back?
Mm.
And the first text I'd like to take us all to, you can read it for us, Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 through 6.
So, folk, if you've got your Bibles, if you're at home, I'd encourage you to, look up some of these scriptures or jot them down. Jot them down. What was that? Ecclesiastes?
Ecclesiastes 9, 5 to 6.
Ecclesiastes 9, 5 to 6. All right, let me read here. So these are all good passages to make note of and to read through. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, mm-hmm. and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Never more will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Well, that's so clear.
Yeah.
So clear. That's it. That's it. That's at the end of verse 6.
Can you read verse 10 as well?
Sure. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going.
Yeah. So, as you said, the Bible is just crystal clear. It's
unambiguous.
Completely debunks Halloween.
Absolutely.
The dead do not come back. They know nothing. And every time I say that, I remember Hogan's Heroes. Schultz. What did he say? I know nothing. So, but yeah. And then speaking again of death, Psalm 146, verse 4.
Psalm 146 and verse 4, mm-hmm. and this is what the Bible says.
Yep.
His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish.
Yes, and another version says his thoughts perish.
I wonder if that word spirit is the word ruach,
mm-hmm.
Which is the Hebrew word for breath.
I have here that it's the same.
It's the same word. It is ruach.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the literal translation. So you could say, Charissa, that his breath departs.
He stops breathing.
He returns to the earth.
Yes.
In that very day, his plans perish. And that's the exact opposite. I don't know if you're going there in Genesis, but that's the exact opposite to how life began at the beginning of time.
Let's go there because we got time.
Okay. So we're going to Genesis, aren't we?
Yep.
That would be beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Genesis chapter 2. And where are we here? Here we go. Genesis chapter 2, and we are looking at
verse 7.
Yes, that's the one I was looking for. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
So simple. Miracle of God.
Indeed.
Human life is a miracle.
Indeed. So the earth plus the breath of God equals life. And it's interesting, you know, we use the language, ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically, you know, something that we have in scripture, you know, where once a person dies, that is it, you know,
yep.
they go back into the ground, from where they came. And so, yeah, the Bible's really, really clear on that. In fact, in Genesis 3:19, if I could just read this, this is what God says to Adam.
Yeah.
After they have sinned, he says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
Mm-hmm.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We hear those words at funerals all the time. They come from Scripture,
yes.
Reminding us that we came about through a God who formed us with his own hand. And what I love about this passage, and I better not talk too much, what I love about this passage is that for all the other creation in those 6 days, the Bible says God spoke and it was so. God spoke and it was so. But this time, God doesn't speak. This time, God gets his hands dirty.
Yes.
He gets his hands dirty. He creates us in his image, the Bible says, and then he breathes his breath of life. So it's this intimacy.
Yes.
This intimacy that God wants to have with us. Beautiful, beautiful picture.
Absolutely. I'd like to add another text here to the mix, and just again picking up, we were talking about how, you know, people would try and make their homes undesirable. I've also got here that I found that villages, in a way to, in case the spirit did find the home desirable, no matter what they did, they left treats outside to appease the wandering spirits.
That's where to the encourage trick or them treat to comes move from. On.
Yes. So, you know, they were just terrified that they would come into their homes, these spirits, and possess them and make off with their children and damage their property and kill their livestock. But this is what the Bible says. Job chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Do you want to read that one?
I think you should read it. To?
As the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore. And on this note, we're going to listen to...
That's probably a good text to share with the kids when they come trick-or-treating.
That's right. let's listen to Neville Peter bring to us a very appropriate song for this show, Look Up.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Look up, look up. When you've done all you can, and all that's left to do is stand. Look up, look up. When it's time to face the unknown, I am right by your side. You won't ever have to stand alone. Don't be dismayed, just look up, look up. When heaven seems so far away, the unrighteous prosper every day. Just look up, look up. This world isn't all that there is. I'm preparing a place where all who love me
to us. Look up. And by the way, Neville, have you met him?
Neville, or you have
Neville,
you, is that
Michael,
how is,
maybe I'm calling him wrong. Neville Peter.
I don't know, unless
but I have met him.
Is he the blind
yes, he's blind
musician?
He's
yeah
blind.
He's a bit, I have met him, I have briefly met him. Yeah, he's yeah, he came across as just someone who was just such a
very humble, down to earth,
and just such a brilliant, you know, musician.
Brilliant musician,
of course, as we just heard. Beautiful, beautiful song. Looking up,
ah,
look up,
it's
look
like
up.
It's for the show.
It is for the show. It is for the show. And yeah, wow. Now I've really been blessed by this. Yeah, insightful Bible study, Sharissa, and I know that
praise the Lord.
We don't have a lot of time left in this last section, but I just wanted to tap into some more of these stats and just to show how this is just growing so, so quickly. Mm-hmm. In that article that I referred to earlier from the ABC News, it pointed out that on average, you know, Australians spend $93 per person.
Wow.
$93 per person. And there's an American woman who says that Ms. Zahara, you know, when she came from the States to Australia, I'm not sure exactly where she lives, but she says, you know, when she first arrived, she was the only house.
Mm.
10 years ago, she's saying she was the only house in the street that had decorations. She says now pretty much every house has decorations.
Wow.
And it's interesting that, yeah, according to these statistics here, 38% of Australians will stock up on lollies for trick-or-treats. 37% will also be buying Halloween costumes. Mm-hmm. 32% will be buying some other decor. And guess who is most into Halloween?
Who?
It's not the kids.
Parents.
Not the kids. No. The largest cohort of people celebrating Halloween in Australia are 35 to 59-year-olds.
Wow. That's interesting.
That is interesting. Followed by under 35s.
Mm.
So it's interesting that, you know, so many are getting into it and they're oblivious. They're oblivious to the roots of this festival that is demonic. Let's call it for what it is. It's demonic. It's straight out of, you know, the devil's workshop.
Yes.
Straight out of the devil's workshop. And it's interesting. Revelation talks about Satan. And Jesus talked about the signs and the wonders and the miracle. Revelation in particular talks about, you know, spirits of demons that will deceive the whole world at the end of time. So this is all setting the platform. Hollywood is setting the platform. Events like this, video games, music, you name it, it's all setting the platform. And enough from me. Over to you.
Oh, no. Look, I think everything that you've just said is so appropriate because, you know, it's all built on the idea that the dead come back.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible's very clear, as we've just been saying.
Yes, we have.
They know nothing. They don't return to their home. They don't praise the Lord. These are, everything we just said there is straight from Scripture. We got that in the last segment. So I guess for our listeners, this might have come maybe even for a surprise. Maybe that's new to you. So if that's the case, then what does really happen? Where do we go when we die? And I liked how you took us to Genesis chapter 2, and we were reminded how God created life.
Mm-hmm.
It's the formula for life right there. Genesis 2 verse 7, God formed man of the dust, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we don't have souls. According to the Bible, we are living souls. And the Bible even says in Ezekiel, I believe, Ezekiel 18 verse 4, the soul who sins shall die.
Exactly.
So the person who sins shall die. But if that's the formula for life, body or dust of the ground plus the breath of life equals a living soul, then the formula for death is simply the reverse. And that's the kind of maths I can do. So the, you know,
1 + 1 = 2.
1 + 1 = 2.
1 - 1 = 0.
That's right. And then body minus breath equals, you know, a lifeless soul.
Amen.
And so where does the dead person go?
Good question.
Yeah. Well, how would you explain it? I can think of a few illustrations, but I think you might have one.
Where does the dead person go?
Like a light, or, you know, like where does the light go when you turn a light off?
Well, when you turn the electricity off, the light goes out.
Yeah.
And that is it. It just vanishes.
Ceases to be.
It ceases to be, indeed. So I believe that's what the scriptures teach, and they teach, I'm not sure if you're going to tap into this, but what the Bible and how scripture describes death.
Mm.
It doesn't describe death as, you know, the stop before you move on and you continue to live. It describes death as simply a sleep,
as
a rest.
Yes. And one of the best places to see that, it's clearness is in the story of Lazarus when Jesus,
John chapter 11,
Jesus' friends, well, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, sent a message to Jesus, and they didn't even have to put a name to the message.
No, they didn't.
Because they knew Jesus would know who it was. They just said, "He whom you love is sick."
Mm.
And they knew Jesus would know exactly who it was. And when he heard it, he delays his going back to Bethany, and he even says, do you want to read John 11, verse 11 to 14?
Sure. It says, "These things he said, after that he said to them," that is to his disciples, "our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead."
There you go. So for Jesus, death was a sleep.
Indeed.
And that's a very peaceful thought. Like it, when you're asleep, it doesn't matter if an hour passes, 5 hours or 15 minutes, it all feels the same. Because you're completely unconscious in sleep and you're dead to the world.
There's no consciousness of the passage of time.
That's a better way of saying it. Yeah. So people might be saying, well, this is very interesting. Jesus called death asleep, but what about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus?
Good question. I was going to ask you that.
Oh, I'm going to ask you.
Well, the very first thing that you shared,
yeah.
The parable.
All right.
Something that is a parable has elements that are true.
Yes.
And factual, as well as elements that are not true and factual, but are there to illustrate a point.
Okay.
So with the, you know, we could do a whole Bible study on that particular parable, and we don't have time to do that right now. But simply put, that parable, Jesus is seeking to make a point. He's not there describing what happens at death, well, in particular hell,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're dealing with events that are definitely not, you know, they cannot be factual, you know, whereby, you know, just the tip of your finger, wet the tip of your finger, place it on my tongue, and you know, I'll be okay for a season. And, you know, this conversation going on, you know, between Abraham and that rich man.
It doesn't sound like heaven, hey?
It doesn't sound like heaven.
See the suffering.
Yeah, so there's a lot of elements of that parable that you can clearly see are used to illustrate rather than, you know, provide biblical fact. You know, and that's the thing with Scripture. With Scripture, we've got to understand what is being shared. So a parable needs to be interpreted according to the principles that interpret parables. A prophecy needs to be interpreted according to principles in connection with prophecy.
History.
History as well.
Poetry.
Poetry, yeah. So the Bible's got different genres depending on what's being discussed. And so when you have those keys of how to unlock those particular passages, well, then it all makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you have to read every scripture in the context of the rest of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't isolate one passage and say, well, this is what the Bible teaches on death or on hell or on the law or on Sabbath or on marriage or whatever the case may be, based on one or two verses.
That's right.
Or even a passage of scripture. We need to pull all the scriptures together. That's how
we do
Bible study. Pull all the scriptures together, line upon line, here a little, there a little, as scripture says, and then discover what is the truth that brings all these passages together. You know, what is the common denominator in these passages in connection with this truth?
We just had a listener write in a question. Since you're on a roll, Pastor Danny.
I'll stop rolling.
How about near-death experiences?
Vernon says this is a good question. That is a great question. And she's put a smiley there. Thank you so much. Vernon, that's Vernon.
Yes.
Thank you so much. This is my understanding of it, because there was a movie put out by
Is Heaven for Real? Is that the one?
No, that's not the one, but it was something about, you know, death is not the end, or it's just the beginning. You know, I can't remember. I remember preaching on it and sharing on it in Seddon when I did my globalism seminar. Anyway, basically there is that belief in Christian circles, and it's been popularized that when you die you enter the next life. And there are those individuals who have had these near-death experiences whereby, you know, they've been on the operating table, or they've been drowning, or they've been in a car accident, or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
And they believe that many of them testify to the fact that, you know, they've gone to heaven, they've potentially seen Jesus, angels, loved ones, and then they've been sent back to this earth to continue living. And that, for many, has been conclusive evidence that, yes, when you die, you go to heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, there is this afterlife. And so how do you square that with what we've been talking about,
right,
with the Bible teaching very clearly that when you die, you fall asleep and you're unconscious until the resurrection,
mm-hmm,
when Jesus returns. So how do we square those experiences that people have? And I believe that they do have these experiences with what the scriptures say, teach. I believe probably a couple of things, and there's probably more, but let me just share a couple of things. One, when you're deprived of oxygen, and in situations like this, individuals are just deprived of, when you're deprived of oxygen, it would not be, and I'm not a physician, so I'm just kind of just speaking based on what I've heard, others share, but you can begin to hallucinate and, right, you know, think chemical reactions can be going on in your brain that bring you to a conclusion that you could be experiencing a reality that is not a reality. Just like when we dream.
Yes.
Sometimes you'll have a dream and that dream feels real. And I've had plenty of them.
For sure.
Especially if you're falling, you know, I've had dreams where I'm falling or I'm about to crash or someone's chasing me and I'm like freaked out and I wake up in a sweat.
Yeah.
Or sometimes my wife is like, are you okay? She's trying to wake me up because I'm like, who knows what I'm doing? Who knows what I'm doing? So we have dreams like that. And I believe that that kind of phenomena can be happening when you're oxygen deprived and all sorts of things are going on. Secondly, it could be possible. I don't know. But it could be possible that God may be speaking to these individuals through a dream,
mm-hmm,
that they're having in their minds, trying to help them understand, hey, I've got to, because there have been many conversions, mm-hmm, Charissa, mm-hmm, through experiences like this. There are those that have been agnostics or atheists or maybe part of a different religion, and encounters like this turn them to Christ.
Yes.
So whatever the phenomena may be, whether it's spiritual in nature, whether it's, physiological in nature, I don't know. The Bible teaches very clearly on the subject of death.
Yes.
And so we do not go with our feelings. We do not go with our experiences. We must go with the Word of God.
We test our experience by the Word.
By the Word of God.
And that was a really good answer. Thank you for sharing all of that. And I just want to add just one thing to it, and that is in the story that we're looking at here of Lazarus. It's interesting that if people keep reading, and we're going to have to rush through it just quickly because we're running out of time, but like, you know, he comes, he's 4 days late when he comes to the tomb of Lazarus. He speaks, Lazarus, come forth. He doesn't say, Lazarus, come down, or Lazarus, come up. He just says, come out of the grave, come forth. And the words of Jesus wakes the sleeping dead, and he comes forth. And there's no record in scripture that Lazarus gave any account of his experience in heaven or, you know, anything about his experience in hell, nothing.
And it wasn't just Lazarus. There were two other resurrections as well in the stories of Jesus and in the New Testament.
True.
There are other resurrections. And in the Old Testament,
right,
there's resurrections.
Yes.
And there's no account. In fact, if I could just tap into John 11.
Yes.
And that is, you know, when Jesus says to Martha, he says, your brother will rise again. Notice Martha's response. She says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
Right.
Not, I will see him when I die, because he'll be in heaven.
Good point. Very good point.
I will see him at the resurrection at the last day when we together will be raised with those who are alive to be caught up with the Lord in the air. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Amen. And that very next verse, then Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
And guess what Jesus says to John in Revelation chapter 1?
What?
He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last.
Yes.
And he says, I am the resurrection and the life.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. He says, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. There you go. Scripture connecting with scripture.
Jesus is just The very best.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He's the best. Well, we are running out of time, but we have time to make some summative comments after this next song. Alan Jackson's bringing to us, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And after that, I'd actually like to raise another question. With a beautiful answer.
I'm not sure I'll have a good answer. I might have run out of good answers.
We'll give our listeners a hint. The thief on the cross.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one.
Let's see what the Bible has to say about that. But here we go. Oh, how I love Jesus.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word that sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in its sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Alan Jackson bringing to us, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And we are sad that we've reached the end of our broadcast today, but so glad that you were able to join us. And as we mentioned just before the break, we want to finish with these thoughts by considering what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. It's an amazing exchange that happens there. And maybe, Danny, do you want to read for us Luke 23:40? We'll start actually verse 39 and read to verse 43.
Sure. So from 39 to 43. Luke 23. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah. That's just an amazing exchange. And from, you know, just a cursory reading, it looks like Jesus promised the thief that he was going to be with him in paradise that very day. He said to him, Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise.
Indeed.
So how do we make sense of this? Is the Bible wrong?
Is the Bible contradicting itself?
Yeah.
No, not indeed. Well, the first thing is there was no grammar. There was no grammar when the New Testament was written or when the Old Testament was written. Grammar has been put into place at a later stage.
Right.
And so depending on where you put the comma will determine the meaning of that scripture. So if you put the comma after the word today, it makes a complete different sentence. All completely right. Different. So let me read it to you with the comma after the word today rather than before the word today.
Yes.
Assuredly, I say to you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise. So he's giving assurance to the thief. I'm giving you the assurance today, the darkest time.
Yes.
In my life, while I'm hanging on the cross and there appears to be no hope, I'm giving you the hope, I'm giving you the promise this very day. When I return,
yes,
you will be with me in paradise.
Amen.
And so Jesus, we know Jesus didn't go to paradise that very day on Friday afternoon. We know he didn't. That.
Because John, of Mary.
Yeah, because of Mary. And I'll read it to you. John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus appears to Mary. She thinks he's the gardener. When she realizes that it's Jesus, she says, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. And verse 17, Jesus said to her, notice what Jesus says to her, do not cling to me.
Yes.
For I have not. Why have not?
Not yet.
I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending, future tense, to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So he, very clear, I haven't ascended, but I am ascending.
Yes. This is powerful.
Very, very powerful. So scriptures are very powerful. You can go to 1 Corinthians 15. You can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, amongst many other scriptures, where the resurrection is where those who put their faith and trust in Jesus for the last 6,000 years of history, from the days of Adam and Eve all the way to the very last person that will give their heart and life to Jesus Christ, they will all be raised back to life when Jesus returns, and the dead in Christ, the Bible says, will be raised, and those who are alive when Jesus returns, we'll be caught up together with them. And it says, together we will be with the Lord in the air.
Yes.
And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Beautiful.
That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
You know, Dwight Moody, he was called to preach a funeral service. And he went looking through the Gospels to find a sermon that Jesus preached at a funeral. And to his wonderful surprise, he discovered Jesus broke up every funeral he attended.
Amen.
Death cannot exist where the life is.
Amen.
We need to pray quickly. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for your word, for the hope that we have in Jesus. And as this time comes around, may we use this as an opportunity to give people hope, the truth about Jesus and the wonderful hope that we have in him. Bless our listeners, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, we wanted to say a bit more about that, but time got ahead of us. But if you do,
as always,
have some healthy gifts to give away to people with maybe a little tract about what the Bible says, a promise about what the hope we have in Jesus. So until next time, remember that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up.
Amen.
Keep looking up, and thank you for your company today.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer, all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. I know his love is there for me. We make our plans, and still it's God who directs our way. He knows each step I make. He knows each breath I take. It's in our darkest hour we find our greatest need. He knows what's best for you and me. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer, all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me. In
every trial we face, precious lessons we can learn. My faith grows stronger and His plan for me more clear. His hand cuts diamonds from all we see as simple stones. I've learned to place my trust in Him. Looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. Love is always there for me. Love is always there for me.